2 Timothy chapter 1, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll continue to learn our memory verse, and you can also find your place in Genesis 35. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and Genesis 35. If you would stand with me as we try to learn this memory verse together, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Remember, we quote the first part of this verse, and then we sing the latter part of this verse. So it goes like this. If you remember it from last week, help me. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Great. One more time. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You so much for the Word of God, how You've preserved it for us this day, that we might hold the very Word of God in our hands. I pray that You would bless the reading, the teaching of Your Word on this campus this day. I pray, dear Lord, that You would help all those that stand before a student body, dear Lord, or congregation, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us, and that we would allow God to use us as instruments, and that we would not try to do anything out of our own power, out of our own strength, or our own wisdom, but we give ourselves to You as instruments, dear Lord, clay in the Master's hands. I pray that You just bless and gain all the honor and glory from all that's done here this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Genesis chapter 35. We've started a study last week on the life of Levi and his descendants. The life of Levi and his descendants. Now, the Word of God does not say a whole lot about the son of Jacob, Levi, but we can get a gathering of understanding and knowledge of what happened in the household of Levi as he was growing up into his adult years until they moved to Egypt. And that sort of helps us understand what's going on in Levi's life. But really, as we start this journey through Levi's descendants and how God used them, we must first gain a foundation of what was going on in Levi's life. So that's what we started with last week. And as we saw last week, how God was judging Levi through some of his actions. And then God was also judging the household of Jacob. And we'll begin in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 1, where God was telling Jacob, it's time to go back to your homeland. So Genesis chapter 35 and verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Now, if you remember your Bible stories from your childhood, Jacob's ladder happened at Bethel when he was fleeing from his brother Esau after he had stole his birthright as well as his blessing from his father. And he goes up to get a wife from his brother-in-law, Laban, his mother's brother. Okay, that's brother-in-law somewhere. Uncle, thank you. Those things confused me, sorry. He went to his uncle's homeland in northern Mesopotamia, and Laban was his name. And there he worked for 7 years for the hand of Rachel, and we know the story well where Laban tricked help me this morning. My thoughts are just scattered. Where Jacob worked for the hand of Rachel for 7 years. And how Laban tricked him on the wedding day and actually gave him Leah. And he found out the next morning that he had actually married Leah, not Rachel. And so he again is upset, but he gains another work for 7 years for the hand of Rachel. And now he has two wives. And then we see through last week's story how he actually ends up with four wives. The handmaid of Rachel, the handmaid of Leah. And he has 12 sons and a daughter. Levi is the third son of Leah. The firstborn son is Reuben, the secondborn son is Simeon, and the thirdborn is Levi. And as we came to how understanding how God wanted Jacob to go back home after 20 years of serving Laban, 7 for each of his wives, for Leah and Rachel, and 6 years for the cattle that God blessed the household of Laban with. The 20 years he labored for Laban, and he leaves as God commands him to go back home. But he didn't go back to where God told him to go. He was supposed to go back to his father. And his father lived in Hebron. But he goes and pitches his tent outside of the city of Shechem. And that's what we looked at last week. And after many years, 10 plus years outside of the city of Shechem, God tells Jacob here in chapter 35 and verse 1 to go to Bethel. He goes to Bethel as God commands him. But up before they leave, look what it says in chapter 35 and verse 2. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. This is a godly man. He is the son of Isaac, who is the son of Abraham. And look what is in his household. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way I went. He did that. He did go to Bethel. And then God appears to him again in verse 9. It says, and God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. This is the birthright that passes on from Abraham to Isaac and now Jacob, and eventually to his son. And that's what we're going to look at today, how that birthright has passed. Let's go to Genesis 37 now. Genesis chapter 37. They have left Bethel. They have ended up in Hebron, where God really wanted Jacob to go with his family over 12 years ago. And he was supposed to go to Hebron first when he came out of northern Mesopotamia, but he stopped at Shechem. And then went to Bethel as God commanded him to get right with God. And now he's in the homeland of his father, Isaac, in Hebron. Genesis chapter 37, and look at verse 1 with me. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Jacob and his family are living in Hebron, where God wants them to be. Isaac has died. Isaac has gone on to glory. Genesis 37 is approximately 2 years they have now lived in Hebron. And we see that because Joseph now is 17 years old. And he was at 15 years old when his mother died on the way from Bethel to Hebron. So he's been there about 2 years now. So Joseph is 17 years old. He is helping and serving in the family. But he's not working with the older brothers. The eldest brothers are Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. First four born to Levi, or to Leah and to Jacob. He is working and serving and learning how to feed the flocks and tend the flocks with the younger brothers. It says here in verse 2 that he's serving and working with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah. These are the two handmaids of Leah and Rachel. These are the sons that are the younger, more his age, and they are Dan and Naphtali and Gad and Asher and two of the younger sons of Leah, Issachar and Zebulun. These are all serving together and working together because they're all basically of the same age or close to the same age. The older brothers are over 30 years old now, and they have responsibilities and duties that take them away from the home. So Joseph's not around those brothers as much, but they are around each other. They do serve each other and labor together. We saw last week where Jacob's older brothers, and we'll look at a little this week, how Jacob's oldest sons disappointed their father and disappointed their God and went into sin. Reuben and Simeon and Levi and even Judah disappointed their father and disappointed the family and really disappointed God. But now we see here in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 2, Joseph, the second youngest son, is out laboring and working with the younger sons of the family. And what does he bring back to his father? It says in the end of verse 2, he says, "And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." What is going on in this home? What is wrong in the household of Jacob that his sons will continually to do evil before his father and before the Lord? What is wrong with his home? Look with me in verse 13 of this same chapter. Verse 13 of Genesis 37, we see a little bit more about what's going on in this home. And Levi is with this group in verse 13. "And Israel said unto Joseph," this is Jacob now, Israel, God has changed his name. "Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock," where? "In Shechem." They were supposed to leave Shechem behind. Shechem is over 2 days' journey away from where they're living now. And his sons, his eldest sons, their teen years grew up around Shechem, around the idolatry of Shechem, around the horrible idolatry and the sexual things that were going on in this town. They should not have been anywhere near this town. Jacob raised his sons right outside that city. And now, where do his sons go to feed the flocks? 2 days' journey away to Shechem. It says again in verse 13, "And Israel said unto Joseph," does this, their father know where they went? It says he does. He's telling Joseph. In verse 12, it says, "And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem." Wasn't there good pasture in Hebron? Sure there was. "And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here I am. And he said unto him, go, I pray thee, and see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem." Again, 2 days' journey for a 17-year-old lad to go and check on his brothers for his father to see what they're doing. "Give me back a report, Joseph." He trusts Joseph. He loves Joseph. He actually loves Joseph more than most of the other sons. Gives him a coat of many colors. His brothers are envious. Let's continue. Verse 15, "And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." These sons, these four eldest sons of Jacob, were very notorious in this land. Remember what Simeon and Levi did last week? They betrayed and they tricked the chief of the town of Shechem, Hamor, and his son, the prince. Shechem was named after him. They tricked them and all the males of the city to say, we will give our daughters to you to marry, and you can give your daughters to us to marry, after the rape of Dinah, the daughter of Leah and Jacob. And they were tricking them by saying, if you commit yourselves, all the males of the city, to circumcision, then we'll agree with this proposal you have, Hamor. And they waited 3 days. All the males of the city of Shechem agreed to present themselves for circumcision. On the third day, they were very sore. And what does Simeon and Levi do? The second and third born son of Jacob, they go in and massacre the entire city of all its males. They murder them. Genocide. They were taking vengeance against the rape of their sister. This was not God's plan. And God was going to pronounce judgment on them. These boys had no right to be back in Shechem. Jacob had no right to allow his sons to go back to Shechem. What is wrong with this household? What is going on in the household of Jacob? Jacob has allowed idolatry into his home. Rachel, remember, Rachel stole false images to the gods of her father Laban and stole them and brought them into the household of Jacob after they were fleeing from Laban. And after they destroyed the city of Shechem and kidnapped all the women and children and they looted the city, this was an idolatrous city, they bring that idolatry back into the household of Jacob. He is allowed, as the patriarch of the family, he is allowed idolatry in the home. Jacob's disobedience to God has been observed by his own children. And now his children are following in their father's footsteps. He was not told to camp outside the city of Shechem, but he did for 10 years. His failure to teach his children the importance of separation. Remember what Dinah did? She wanted to go and see the girls of the land. And that led to so many problems there in Shechem. The lack of spiritual leadership in the home. Jacob should have been the rock in the home. He should have been the founding force. This is God's word. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go to Bethel and worship God. And then we're going to go to Hebron and live near your grandfather, my father. The lack of spiritual leadership in the home. And where was the fear of God in the home? Where was it? You know, God's plan for man is to have one wife at a time. How many wives did Jacob have at a time? Four. Was that God's plan? No. You know, Genesis 2:18 says, God's plan was for man to have an help meet. Singular. An help meet. Genesis 2:24 says, man and woman shall be one flesh. It's not plural. Ephesians 6:4 tells us that fathers should not provoke our children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Jacob is failing in these categories. Where is the correction? Where is the discipline? It was all lacking. Even Joseph was getting preferential treatment. And love was shown to him more so than to all the other sons. That's why they plot to kill him here in Genesis 37. Levi, along with all his brothers here in Genesis 37, say, let's conspire to kill our brother. Look with me in Genesis 37. And we'll continue on in verse 17. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. They were in Shechem feeding the flock. Now let's go to Dothan. Where is Dothan? It's even more northern of Hebron, of Shechem. At least another half day, at least, journey. They're getting further and further away from their father and from his leadership. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they, who are these people? Who is the they? Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, the four eldest sons of Jacob. And unto them they conspired against him to slay him. And they said to one another, behold, the dreamer cometh. And they cast him in, you know, they want to kill him, but Reuben says, no, we can't do that. Let's put him in this pit. It's really a dry well. And they put him in this dry well and trying to think what they're going to do. And somehow Reuben goes off and does something, because when he comes back, they've sold Joseph into slavery. And who was the they? Simeon, Levi, and Judah. As we're looking at the life of Levi and his descendants, how in the world is God going to use Levi? He is constantly disappointing his father. He is constantly disappointing God. But God does have a plan for him and his descendants. What is wrong with this family? We could go to Genesis chapter 38 and look at the shame of Judah. Even Judah, who Christ came from that lineage, there was shame in his own life. He was not the spiritual giant that we thought he might have been. He was a man. And he did shame before his father. We could go to Genesis 39 and see how Joseph got sold into and went into Potiphar's house, and then he was placed in prison after a false accusation after Potiphar's wife. We could go to Genesis 40 and see Joseph in prison, and he's interpreting the dreams of the butler and the baker of Pharaoh. We could go to Genesis 41 and we could see the dreams of Pharaoh and how Joseph comes from the prison, interprets the dreams of Pharaoh about the famines that are coming, and how he's elevated into a place of prominence in Egypt. But this is the story of Levi. Levi is a murderer. Levi is a conspirator. Levi is doing evil before the face of the Lord and disappointing his father over and over and over again. But it comes, I have to stop and think, and I was like, what is the root cause here? Levi's not doing this on his own. What is the root cause? And it goes back to the home of Jacob. How are our homes? Are they Christ-honoring in their music that's listened to in the home? Are the entertainment that's watched in that home Christ-honoring? Is the language that's heard in that home honoring to God? Your children are hearing it all, seeing it all. Is the correction and discipline in the home that should be there? Is the father the God-fearing leader in the home? Is the Word of God open and read in the home? Or does it sit on the table and collect dust until Sunday? What impression, please listen to this, what impression does a visitor have when they first enter your home? When a visitor first comes to your home, what is the first impression of your home to them? Is it worldly materialism? Is it heathenism, cultist images, or symbology of cults? Or is it the Word of God and a Christ-honoring home? What does your home instill to visitors? Then your children live under that same roof. Believe me, they know what type of Christian you are. And they are more apt to follow you in your footsteps than to change directions. Jacob's home was not what it should have been. And Levi and his brothers saw their father and how he was leading his life and living his life and how at times it was very displeasing to God. And his sons picked up on it and continued to follow in their footsteps. As we continue on here, now we see when the number four comes before one, two, and three. You're like, what in the world? Who was the fourth born son? Judah. When four comes before one, two, or three, the family leadership is getting ready to be given to Judah, not Reuben. The birthrights of Reuben, Simeon, and Levi are getting ready to be given to Judah. Why? Because of their disobedience, because of their continual sin. Look with me in Genesis 42. We skip over the portion here of Joseph in Egypt. We come to Genesis 42. And this is the first time that Jacob sends his sons down to Egypt to get food because of the famine in the land. They don't know Joseph is the person that's over all the foods and the governor of the land. They don't realize he's second in charge to Pharaoh of Egypt. He is just someone they feel is an Egyptian that is in leadership, and they have to go to him to ask for food. So Genesis 42 talks about Joseph knowing it's his brothers, but they know not that it's him. And as they are leaving and they're talking with Joseph, it comes, they chit-chat a little bit, and he talks about who is your father and how is your father. He talks about, do you have any other brothers? And it comes out they have a son, another brother, the youngest son, Benjamin. And so he says, I'm going to keep Simeon as a prisoner because I think you're all spies. And he's just sort of playing here. And so he keeps Simeon as a prisoner in Egypt, and he sends all the other brothers back to bring Benjamin back to prove they're not spies. And as they get home, We see here in Genesis 42, Reuben is really the spokesman. And Reuben is continually talking to his father. We can see in verse 22 of Genesis 42, and Reuben answered them saying, "Spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child?" This is talking about Joseph. "And ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is inquired. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again and communed with them, and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. And they depart grieved, because they have to leave Simeon in Egypt, and they're considered spies, and they start going back to their homeland of Jacob to tell their father what's going on. And one of them opens their bags, and their money that they were taking to buy the corn is in their bags. And, we're going to be considered thieves. We're going to be considered spies. We're never going to be accepted back in Egypt to get any more food. So they come back home, and Reuben has to give his father an explanation of what's going on. And we pick it up here in verse 34. "And bring your youngest brother unto me, then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men, so I'll deliver you your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, and behold, every man's bundle of money was in the sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him unto my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, My son shall not go on, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave." Reuben was a spokesman here to his father for all the other brothers. And Jacob says, "You're not going to take Benjamin." It's the last time we really see Reuben and Jacob talking, because it starts in Genesis 43 with something entirely different. Look with me in Genesis 43. "And the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food." Look at verse 3. "And Judah spake unto him." Judah's the fourthborn son. Reuben's the firstborn son. He's the leader of the brothers. Not anymore. Judah has taken his place. It says in verse 3, "And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether he had a brother? And they said, The man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him accordingly to the tenor of those words, could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down. And Judah said unto Israel his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou and all our little ones, and I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time." Judah is now taking the place of Reuben in the family. They've skipped over Simeon. They've skipped over Levi because of their sin. And now Judah is becoming the patriarch of the family. We could continue on and look from Genesis 43, 1 through 14. We could also go to Genesis 43, verses 8 and 9, which we just read. In Genesis 44, we could see in verse 14 where Judah is here in Egypt. And it says in verse 14 of Genesis 44, "And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house." Not Reuben and his brethren, Judah and his brethren. Look with me in verse 16. "And Judah said, What shall we say unto my Lord? And what shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. Judah again, verse 18. Then Judah came near unto him. He's talking right into the ear of Joseph, his brother, and doesn't even know it. But it's Judah, not Reuben. And he's talking here from verse 18 through verse 34. He's talking to Pharaoh saying, I am surety for this boy, Benjamin. I am surety. I promised my father I would bring him back. Not Reuben, Judah. Look at chapter 46 and verse 28. And he sent, let's back up just a couple verses here. Jacob is getting ready to leave Canaan land and go to Egypt with all the people, all the family. They're getting ready to move to Egypt. We just don't have time to look at Joseph's life. That's not this study. But look with me in chapter 46. Jacob is going to Egypt here, and look with me at verse 26 of Genesis 46. All the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were 2 souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. And he sent Judah. Jacob is sending Judah before him unto Joseph. Joseph has become the family leader. Joseph has taken the place of Reuben and Simeon and Levi. What has occurred in these brothers' roles to happen and allow this? Reuben in chapter 35 of Genesis and verses 21 through 22, Reuben is approximately 30 years old at this time, and he's single and he has little opportunity to find a wife. And so what does he do? He doesn't go into the Canaanites and find a wife. He doesn't go into the servants of his father's household to find a wife. He goes into his mother-in-law, or stepmother, I guess it would be, Bilhah, and has a relationship. What is wrong with this home? What is wrong with this household? Where is the punishment and the discipline after this occurs? Jacob says not a word. Not a word that his eldest son and one of his wives has had a relationship. But he doesn't forget. Because in the blessings of Jacob, at the end of his life in Genesis 49, he pronounces on Jacob in verses 3 and 4, pronounces on Reuben in Genesis chapter 49, verses 3 and 4. It says, and he's given out the blessings final right before he dies. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest it. He went up to my couch. Reuben has written off his birthright by his sin. What about Simeon and Levi? Well, if we went back to Genesis 34, we would see the massacre of the city of Shechem. Of all the males, and it was premeditated murder. Go back and look at Genesis 34. It was premeditated. Simeon and Levi planned to kill every male in that city. It was premeditated on Hamor, the chief of the city, Shechem, the prince of the city, and all the males. Then they looted and kidnapped all the women and the children of the city. They lost their birthright because of their actions. In verses 5 through 7 of Genesis 49, look at the blessings of Jacob on his dying bed. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are their habitations. O my soul, come not thou unto their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. They lost the birthright. Now look at the blessing Jacob gives to Judah, the fourth-born son. In verse number 8 of Genesis 49. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey, my son. Thou art gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion. As an old lion, he shall rouse him up. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, unto him shall be gathering of the people. Binding his foal unto the wine, and his ass colt unto the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the grapes, and the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. It's quite a blessing, really, is what Jacob is giving his son Judah. Judah has become the patriarch. But again, we're looking at the life of Levi and all of his descendants. So they've moved to Egypt. We really don't hear a whole lot more about these boys, but we do hear about their descendants. Levi does get married. In Genesis 46, we do find out his sons' names, which are important for future weeks that we're going to be studying. Genesis chapter 46, look with me. In verse 1, and Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make thee a great nation. I will go down with thee in Egypt, and I will surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. We go down to verse number 11. We see the sons here of Levi that are going to go into Egypt with Levi, their father. And the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merariah, these are the sons of Levi. These are the future generations, and the future descendants of Levi are coming from these three boys. Are they going to do the same as their father, or are they going to take their place where they should have done in the first place and been honoring God in their lives? We know in the coming days that God is going to place on the Levites the role of the priestly line. We know that because the high priest comes from the line of Levi. We know that all the priests that worship and serve in the tabernacle in the temple are from the Levite tribe. Those who set up, took down, or carried the articles of the tabernacle in the wilderness are from the descendants of Levi. There had to be a change in Levi's thinking, or there had to be a change in his descendants' thinking, that God would allow them to be a blessing to others. There was a circumstance. There was a decision. And we'll hopefully see that next week. But who, let me ask you, who were two of the most well-known descendants of Levi? Look with me in Exodus chapter 2. We have seen some troubling days in the life of Levi and in his household that he was raised in. But look with me at a contrast here. In Exodus chapter 2, look with me in verse 1. And there went a man of the house of who? Levi. And took to wife a daughter of who? Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Who are we talking about here, class? Moses. Who is Moses' brother? Aaron. Who is Aaron and Moses' sister? Miriam. Three very godly people that God is getting ready to use on the exodus through Egypt and into the wilderness and at the Mount Sinai and crossing the Red Sea. And who are they all descendants of, class? Levi. God has done something in this family's life. He's not given up on them. He's not just thrown them aside and cast them aside. They're useless to me, just as we are not useless to God or our descendants are not useless to God. It does not matter what has happened in our life before or our descendants before us. We can make a difference for God. We can do something for God. Amram and Jochebed are the parents talked about here. Compare them to the family and the household of Jacob. What a godly example they set for their sons. They had faith. They had strong in character. They were strong in courage. And we're going to look at them next week. Let us take our example not from Jacob and his household. Let us take our example of a home from Amram and Jochebed. But really, let's keep our eyes on Christ. And let's follow the leading of Christ and the Word of God and shows us how to build our home to be a godly heritage for our children and our grandchildren. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this lesson. Thank you so much for teaching it for me, dear Lord. You've done this. I give you the honor and glory and the praise for it, Lord. I pray, dear Lord, that you would touch our hearts and help us to have the kind of home that we know we should have. What is that first image that visitors have when they come into our home? What is that image we're giving to our children of our homes? Help us, dear Lord, and our children, our grandchildren, help us to be the parents and grandparents that we know we ought to be to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be a godly example. Bless the remainder of this day. Bless our pastor. Thank you for him. I pray that you would speak through him, dear Lord, and speak through our special speaker today and speak through him. And help us, dear Lord, to see souls saved through this ministry. We thank you in Christ's name.